According to new research, Zosparidae, a.k.a. white eyes, for the white feathers that frame their eyes, form new species at a rate faster than any other known bird. With me now is Christopher Filardi, biodiversity scientist for the American Museum of Natural History, who collaborated on the research. Welcome to our show. And I'm sure that I butchered the name of this species, but how would you pronounce it?
The scientific name for the family, and thanks so much for having me, is Zosteropidae.
Zosteropidae.
White eyes is just fine.
So what defines the white eyes family?
Well, what's interesting is that's evolving, and this paper has really redefined what a white eye actually is, and it includes some groups of birds from Asia that people thought were very, very distantly related to the core group of white eyes, which are basically a bunch of little yellow and sometimes drab olive birds, with many of which have these white feathers around their eyes. And they occupy places from Africa all the way across through Asia, parts of temperate Asia, and way out into the tiny little far-flung islands of the Pacific. But everywhere you go where there are white eyes, they kind of look pretty much like a little yellow bird with a white eye ring or not, sort of doing the same thing wherever they are.
Well, you keep on saying white eye ring or not, or mostly. So there are white eyes that don't have these white feathers around their eyes?
Yes, correct. And
so why do we know that? How do we know that they're white eyes?
That's a great question. Most of the birds within the genus Zosterops, which is the nominate genus within the family Zosteropidae, most of them have white eye rings, but the few that don't are basically the same exact bird without this white eye ring. Some of them have little fleshy rings around their eyes. Others have a drab gray ring around their eyes, but all of them sound very similar. They live in big groups and flit around in the treetops or on forest edges, eating both fruit and insects. So all very, very ecologically similar birds, even though the presence or absence of an eye ring changes as you move across geographic space and encounter new species.
Would the similarities be apparent to a casual birder, or do you have to be an ornithologist to see them?
For most of the core white eyes, if you've seen one white eye, you've sort of seen them all. It's almost as if you see a white eye not wearing his glasses if it's a species without a white eye ring. You still know it's a white eye.
Why are they called the great speciators?
It started really 80 years ago when a very famous ornithologist, Ernst Hartzert, sent a letter to Ernst Mayr, who was then unknown, and said, there's no place better on Earth to study bird speciation than the Solomon Islands. And Ernst Mayr was on his way to the Solomon Islands in 1929, and one of the birds that really struck him were these white eye birds, particularly in a small group of islands called the New Georgia Group, where on six islands, some of which are only 2 kilometers apart, he found a different species on every single island he went to of these white eye birds. And when he returned and began looking through his material from the Solomons, he later wrote a letter to Jared Diamond, another famous ornithologist, and at this point, Mayr was very famous as well. And they decided to sort of write a joint paper about some of the extreme patterns of geographic variation in the Solomons. And the white eyes really became a poster child for their ideas about why some groups of birds might speciate way more than other groups of birds.
Is this something that's happening right now, or did this speciation occur a long time ago?
Well, many people thought most of the speciation in white eyes would have had to occur a very long time ago, just because they occupy such a huge range. Really, nearly, much of a hemisphere is occupied by these white eye birds. However, this research shows that within the last 2 million years, all of that diversity has occurred, and some of it has occurred recently enough that we don't know exactly when it occurred. Anytime, last couple hundred thousand years, we have new species popping up in these white eye birds.
How does their rate of evolution compare to other bird families?
So, people haven't done a great deal of work on this, but what's shocking is that with what few data exist out there, we're finding rates in these white eye birds that are basically not even comparable to most other bird groups that are this diverse. Maybe you're looking at things 3 and 4 times as fast, given the kinds of indexes we're using to try to understand how fast new species are forming over time. And they're really comparable. The only vertebrate that we found that really exceeds this rate are these little cichlid fishes in Africa that diversified wildly within the Rift Lakes of East and Central Africa.
Anybody have any theory as to why white eyes are such rapid speciators? What I remember studying evolution in school, it occurred because there was an adaptation to different environments. But these birds, they seem to be everywhere. Is that the reason that they have speciated so widely?
Well, you know, it really harks back to what really was one of the greatest contributions to modern biology in our era, really in the last century, was the idea that new species form via reproductive isolation, whether or not there is any adaptation to differing environments, that the seed for the genesis of new species is simply isolation, and that is reproductive isolation. And what these birds have been able to do is not only have they been able to disperse over huge geographies and have done it fast enough that no single environmental factor can explain this, but at the same time, when they've gotten to new places, something about these birds, something special about these birds has enabled them to become reproductively isolated. And what we believe is it relates to basically the bird's personality. You know, all white eyes are very social, meaning that it makes it very very easy for them to colonize new places because they'll usually travel in large groups. So instead of one little bird flitting up to a beachside and having nobody to mate with, you generally tend to have a large exploded family group or even multiple family groups traveling together. And once they get there, these social hierarchies have nuance. They have sort of an accent, you know, like going from the Bronx to Brooklyn or something like that. And they have fashion, different color patterns. If you get a group of birds that arrives on an island and you have a big male who's this beautiful male who does great, he's got great genes, he's really healthy, produces great kids, and happen to have a white dot on his forehead and nobody else has it, very rapidly evolution's going to push toward everybody having that white dot. And if you have individuals coming from another island later, they don't talk the same, they don't happen to have the white dot, and regardless of whether they're a great, you know, individual or not, the folks on that other island aren't going to really want to interact with them.
But what would an examination of their genome reveal? Would they have pretty much the same genome, whether they're on that island and have become different, or whether they're in Asia, Africa, somewhere in the South Pacific?
Well, what's really interesting is when we started looking at a tiny geography in the Solomon Islands and looking at a set of genes that tend to evolve very rapidly, and we looked at those genes and saw that these birds are completely isolated from one another within these small islands in the Solomons. But we were adding birds from Africa, from Australia, from other places, and found that differentiation between Africa and among birds with, you know, 2 kilometers apart in the Solomons were sort of on the same order of magnitude, which means that they were speciating at very rapidly at the same time. However, all of these different species have very, very individual genetic signatures, meaning there is no reproductive exchange among many, if not all, of the named species within this genus, which is over 80 species right now.
Are any of these white-eyed species known to be endangered?
You know, sadly, what I believe is the most restricted range full-species songbird on Earth, the Gizo white-eye in the Solomon Islands. It occupies a range that's almost a third smaller than the island of Manhattan, and it's the second largest city in the Solomon Islands, happens to be on that little island. It's the provincial capital of Western Province. There's lots of people living there, growing gardens there, and these birds don't necessarily need huge tracts of primary forest, but they do need places to build their nests and to forage. And though the areas that are available to them are diminishing very rapidly, and this is a species of special concern, but no one has done a really good population census of that bird. And within that island group, there are 6 other species that occupy ranges that aren't much bigger than that, and all of which could be threatened, not only by human activities directly, but also indirectly through things like climate change on these tiny islands.
Christopher, thank you so much for talking with us about Zostorupidae, the white eyes bird species. Christopher Filardi is biodiversity scientist for the American Museum of Natural History. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much, Leonard.